Coming up on the Australian share market, global markets tumble. The Australian share market down 4.2%, the worst one-day loss since May 2020. And even currencies taking a hit. The Australian dollar at a pandemic low against multiple currencies. We'll have all the details next. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this special extended edition of the SBS On The Money podcast on this Monday, the 7th of April 2025, as the Australian share market took a hard hit, the biggest one-day loss since May 2020. Global investors are reacting to the latest developments of Donald Trump's trade tariffs as China applied its own at the weekend. The ASX, as I mentioned, tumbled 4.2%, 7,343 on the S&P ASX 200. At one point, it was down 6.4%. So we start our coverage by speaking with Andrew McCauley. He is the Chief of Investments at UBS Global Wealth
Andrew,
Management.
First of
Australia.
All, are you surprised at the ferocity of the sell-off locally and overseas? And why do you think it's happened?
I wouldn't say surprised. The breadth and the size of the tariffs were worse than even our worst case scenario. So I couldn't say surprised. I think there's a few reasons for the reaction that we've seen. Number one, markets were overvalued. Valuations were stretched. Number two, there was already a certain degree of buyer's fatigue as far as technology stocks and the Magnificent Seven were. So that was an issue. And number three is we're not quite sure what Mr. Trump is up to. We don't have a game plan. We don't know what the roadmap is. So that's created a lot of uncertainty.
Speaking of those uncertainties, I think one of them, and it was in one of the UBS notes today, that the markets are trying to decipher a number of things. A big one being, is Donald Trump trying to engineer a recession? Is he?
It's very hard to read the entrails as far as Mr. Trump is concerned. All I'll say is that the possibility of a recession is real and present. And we actually think that there will be an intra-year recession, that we'll see a couple of quarters of negative growth, which is a technical, you know, a technical definition of a recession. To us, it feels like it's a little bit of policy on the run. And it comes back to trying to understand what he's trying to achieve. What are the objectives exactly as we move towards this overall objective, which is the industrialization or reindustrialization of America. So was he aiming for a recession? I would be surprised, but he won't necessarily admit that.
How does an economic slowdown, so if we do get this recession in the US and an economic slowdown in China, given we're seeing this tit-for-tat tariff, how does it impact Australia and how is that flowing through to the markets?
Well, anything that affects the US affects the world. So if the US, you know, if US activity slows, that impacts sentiment around the world. It impacts activity around the world. And we've seen over the last couple of days that it impacts markets, and they're all interrelated. You know, as far as Australia is concerned, if the first order effects of a slowdown in the US, it's not a major issue. About 7% of our exports go to the States, and that's about 1% of our GDP. So a 10% tariff and 25% on steel and aluminium, overall, it's not a material issue. It is for the companies involved, but it's not a material issue. I mean, I think for Australia, the real issue is what happens to China, and they're our major trading partner, and how they respond. That's key for Australia.
So if you look at the numbers, right, and we've seen this severe decline over the past few days, you've already mentioned that one of the key concerns is uncertainty. So to what extent are you worried now about the investment outlook?
I wouldn't say worried. I've been in the markets for a long time and I've been through quite a few of these sort of corrections. I understand that the drop in the US market over the last 2 days is in the top four as far as drops are concerned or falls in the market since the Second World War. So not worried, but unsettled. The ironic thing about this is that Mr. Trump could really improve the situation with a few tweets, a few well-placed tweets saying we're negotiating or these are temporary. You know, that would really solve the issue. But coming back to that uncertainty, you know, what happens to global trade after Mr. Trump achieves his goals? It looks like the WTO is irrelevant now, and it looks like free trade agreements are not worth the paper they're written on. So these are the things that markets are grappling with.
What are you telling your clients at the moment?
Well, the obvious thing is not to panic. We think the worst reaction would be to sell shares, that's for sure. You know, this correction has happened. There's no point in chasing it. For sure, it can get worse, but we really don't know how much worse. And history says when you get corrections like this, you're almost, you know, can be almost certain that in 12 months, you know, the markets will be positive. So what we're saying to clients is what we always say, a well-diversified portfolio. We're very keen on Aussie dollar corporate bonds, A-grade and above, highly rated corporate bonds. They're performing very well, and we will continue to expect them to perform well. We also like hedge funds that are market neutral or are getting their return from taking views on the macro. We also like gold. We think that gold has more in it. And the Aussie dollar, we're heartened in the week by the weakness in the Aussie dollar. And that's because we tell our clients strategically, don't hedge your international equities back into Aussie dollars, because what we're seeing now is that when international stock markets sell off, the Aussie dollar weakens and it acts as an automatic stabilizer for your portfolio when you translate, you know, the value of your international shares back to Aussie dollars.
That's Andrew McCauley there from UBS Global Wealth Management in Australia. He is the Chief of Investments there. For more on the day's market action, I spoke with Mathan Somasundaram, the CEO of Deep Data Analytics.
I mean, I guess what we have to look at is what's driving it. And there is, the market does not like uncertainty. And we are coming through at, especially in the US, you had 20-year high multiples. And basically, there is no clarity on what's going to happen. And if everything stays as it is, there is a very high chance of US recession. So all that uncertainty was spooking the market. And you've had US administration basically saying, we're not going to change our path. So in that case, the US market is down over 10% in 2 days. That's probably the biggest dollar amount fall in history. So you get that kind of a fall. Yeah, we're going to react. And China on the weekend retaliated by putting 34% tariff extra on everything American. So it's logical, and the panic's come. Right now, people are just selling everything.
If we focus on the Australian share market and the move today, right, it fell around 6% at the open, the ASX 200. Then there was some buying, it appeared, just before lunchtime, and to be down around 4.5%. What do you think happened there?
Yeah, it's pretty clear to see global funds who are holding substantial amount of Aussie equities. They came in and started buying BHP and CBA, which is the two biggest stocks in our market. And both of them bounced starting from about 11 to about 12, 12.30. And it's been holding up. And that's where you've seen the Aussie market move from the bottom and have a bit of a bounce back and a bit of a recovery. But overall, they're defending their overweight in equities. But there is a problem right now. We are basically in NASDAQ and Russell in the US is in bear market. So if that trend continues, there'll be an asset allocation away from equities. That's the worrying part.
And when we look at the markets today, where were the losses?
Oh, look, it's everything, right? It's just everyone is throwing the baby out with the bathwater. And it's always been the riskier ones. The high growth stocks are the more riskier one. Resources, with what's happening with China, that's taking a hit as well. And energy is taking a hit, because as with anything, when you've got a rising risk of recession in the US, That means energy takes the first hit, and that's been another one that's taking a hit.
Yeah, more on that in a few moments. Well, actually, right now, because we spoke to Chris Weston a few moments ago, and he went through the implications on the currencies, right? But oil also took a huge hit. Brent down from about 69 US on Friday to about 63 today. Why? And what are the implications of this?
Yeah, oil is an interesting one because oil was trading at relatively low level. So you kind of expected that that was telling you that economy was going to go into a tough cycle, almost like a recession cycle, where the markets were quite elevated a couple of months ago. So now the market is starting to realize that actually the oil probably knows something and the market is coming back and oil is responding like it always does. It crashes, right? So oil is like a classic commodity, like food, like anything else. We need it. So what happens is when things go into a recession cycle, everyone throws the baby out with the bathwater, oil collapses. And what happens is a lot of the high cost producers, especially in the US, all the shale producers, they're leveraged quite a bit. And so at low prices, they go bust. And as that supply then gets killed off, then oil price recovers. So you always get oil overshooting at the bottom and overshooting at the top. So we're seeing that react. So if you're in the energy sector right now, it looks completely ugly. But that's just normal cycle. It looks completely disastrous. And then the high cost supply goes out of the table and then it recovers. So it's what's happening is just normal panic cycle. And we're going to get that.
And is it just a simple barometer for global growth as well, the oil price?
And you can look it through our currency to what Australia trades on. Australia is a proxy of global growth. So what US did damages global growth. And so we're seeing that effect and our currency has gone down and the key commodities like copper, oil are all struggling today.
But finally, what do you tell investors now? And are there any opportunities or do you kind of sit back and sit in your hands?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of prepared for this. It was an inevitable scenario. We just don't know what the event was going to trigger that. Obviously, nobody thought someone's going to come up with a 185 list of tariffs. I mean, that just sounds crazy. But that's what happened. But it always is a left field event that we don't see it coming. But the actual outcome is completely predictable. Most people knew about it. But I refer to the Warren Buffett statement, the Noah rule. There's no point predicting rain if you don't build an ark. So we actually moved ahead and we've taken exposures that have the least amount of damage or give us the upside. So the obvious hedge is gold, and we've been long gold for a couple of years, and that's outperforming. Even in a clean out like today, because the Aussie dollar fell, Aussie dollar spot gold is still over 5,000, where most Aussie gold miners, their cost is somewhere around 2,000, 2,200. So there's a massive profit margin there. So Aussie gold miners are doing well. You're getting a 10% discount today. Great, buy more. Defensive yields, if you look at Telstra, if you look at APA, if you look at all those Woolies, Coles, those kinds of defensive yields, they're holding up better than the market. Then on the other side, as we discussed before, energy. Nobody wants to touch it. It looks atrocious. In 12 months, they will look great because the supply will come off and then the demand, if recovers slightly, you'll get a squeeze. So we see the benefit. It's the cycle. Don't let a bad case of, you know, bad cycle go away for waste. Take advantage. But we're not jumping in and buying a lot more. We are basically positioned for it. We're just sitting through it.
That's Mathan Somasundaram there from Deep Data. And significantly falling below 60 US cents for the first time since the pandemic, closing at around 60.2 US cents on the trading day. So for more, I spoke with Chris Weston, the head of research.
Well, I think it's been fitting with the idea that it is an out-and-out risk proxy. You know, S&P futures, NASDAQ futures come under pressure. Copper futures were down 8% on the open. Crude. All these are these markets which are associated with risk and semantics in the market. The Aussie dollar in FX is the out-and-out risk proxy. So if you want to express a negative view about sentiment and deterioration, you just go to the Australian dollar. It has an element of being a China proxy. You know, when we see China equity markets moving, it has, from time to time, a strong correlation. But at the moment, the concern out there is about US and global growth. And yeah, over the weekend, we saw a number of economists calling for a US recession this year. And again, you know, it's got that growth proxy in there. It's got that risk proxy. And so, yeah, the Aussie dollar has been that vehicle which a lot of funds will use to express that view of reduced growth and what's happening in you know, equity markets and commodity markets at the moment. So that's why it's been underperforming there.
And when we talk about a risk proxy, right, when we talk about the Aussie, it's often in relation to the US, but it's down pretty hard against the others like the euro, the pound and the yen. What's that about?
Well, that's just the fact is we have to, when you're trading currencies, it is a relative game. It's the Australian dollar relative to the US dollar against the yen, euro. So it's one against the other. And really what we're doing in this situation is when we're looking at all the different currencies, we're saying right now that the Aussie is the vehicle that we want to use to express that view of lower global growth, weaker equity markets, higher implied volatility in markets. And so what happens is you just take that in isolation and it falls relative to euro and the yen. So there's not really a huge amount of fundamentals about the Australian economy. It's not, you know, pre-tariffs, a lot of people were saying that Australia was a good place to be because we were, you know, we had relatively low tariff rates compared to a lot of other places. And therefore the tariff rates that were going to be imposed, and obviously we had 10%, were going to be quite punitive relative to what we've seen in China and Europe and Japan and those places as well. So it was a place to be. But what we're actually seeing now is people just saying this is not about the Australian economy. It's not about the idea that the Australian economy is going to fare worse under a tariff regime relative to Europe or Japan or anywhere else like that. It's just the fact that it is, you know, we just say that this is the thing we use to express that view in the FX channel. And that's why it's been falling against the euro, against the pound last few days, more than any other currency, really.
Okay. What's the US dollar's role in all of this at the moment? Last week, we were talking about at one stage, there was a big fall in the US dollar index, for example. Has there been some sort of recovery? What's its role right now?
Well, I think things have changed. You know, going up probably until the back end of last week, until Thursday, for example, no one really wanted to buy US dollars because the US was the epicenter of the problem. The tariff regime, which was going to be put in place, is impacting, it already is impacting CEO confidence, business confidence is falling, people are concerned about margins. And, you know, people were ratcheting up their view that we were going to see a US recession. But then I think things changed on Friday with the announcement of the tariffs and the sort of 25% weighted average tariff across there, which was way, way higher than what everyone was expecting. And I think the role of the US dollar changed from being one where we're not buying dollars because we're concerned about the US economy to one where actually now we're buying dollars because risk has really come off the table. You know, the VIX was at 45%. The S&P and NASDAQ has absolutely collapsed last few days. And I think people went into this kind of massive risk aversion mode, this capital preservation with margin calls and forced liquidations going off. And the US dollar in that situation flipped and it's become a safe haven currency. It's the world's reserve currency. And in times where people see darkness on the horizon, the fact that the US may go into recession this year, it doesn't matter too much because this is just about having that safety of the world's reserve currency in your bag there.
And what you're seeing, will it have an implication for interest rates here in Australia anyway?
Well, I think people are getting quite emotional in the interest rate markets and the interest rate swaps markets. There is a big disconnect at the moment. There's a lot of dislocations in markets when you see these really high volatility moves and these fast-paced markets. People can't price risk really that efficiently. But the dislocation in interest rate pricing is huge at the moment, at least relative to where central banks have been saying. And that's certainly very, very prevalent in Australia, where, you know, you read the recent RBA statement, it didn't even give us any clues that they were looking to cut rates at all this year. Governor Bullock's going to be stepping up on Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern and Standard Time. And, you know, the chances are that she'll reiterate her previously relatively hawkish message that they're not in a propensity to be cutting rates anytime soon. This is a message that Jay Powell from the Fed Reserve gave, that he's not in a position at the moment to do so. But the markets, the pricing is expecting urgent cuts right here, right now, and aggressive cuts for the full year. I mean, I'll give you an understanding about what's priced into Aussie rates at the moment. We're looking at a 1 in 3 chance that we get a 50 basis point cuts on the next meeting on the 20th of May. And that's not even taking into consideration the Q1 CPI figures. That was even higher on the open this morning. We saw that nearly 100% price for a 50 basis point cut, with 525 basis point cuts being priced throughout by the end of the year. You put that into relation what the RBA have been saying, and there's a massive disconnect between the markets, what they're thinking about recession risk and what the central banks are doing. So I think that needs to reconcile itself out. One's going to be right, one's going to be wrong, and we'll have to see who that's going to be. But I suspect, yeah, the RBA, given what we're seeing from this uncertainty, will need to cut rates. I think they'll probably cut 25 at the next meeting on the 20th of May. But I think 50 is pretty much on those emergency settings. And I certainly don't buy this argument that we need to an intermeeting cut, which some people are suggesting.
And finally, so we've spoken about currencies. What about commodity prices? They've been smashed, particularly iron ore and oil. Can you run us through why, and oil particularly, especially, and I know you're not here to talk about petrol prices, but we're looking for a silver lining, right? At least it may flow through to motorists.
Well, I think there's plenty of silver linings. If you, yeah, if we were to see a recession and you can keep your job, potentially we could get, the cash rate 100 basis points lower if you believe where market pricing is. And, stocks at some stage are going to go on sale, and we're going to, if you've got cash on the sidelines, there's going to be some really, really good buying opportunities there as well. But of course, from an energy point of view and a petrol price point of view, I mean, look, what we're seeing is we've saw price WTI trade down to what, 59.33. So it was very, very heavy on the open there. That is just part of this whole risk malaise, negative sentiment perpetuating through markets. The idea that we've got a higher probability of a US recession, that crimps on the perception of global demand going forward. And that also comes at a time when last week OPEC talked about getting more output out of the going forward from April time. And also we saw the Saudis over the weekend, well, Saudi Aramco coming out and selling it, offering barrels at a much lower rate for their key customers as well. So you've got a supply side which is weighing on there, but the demand side, well, the perception of demand, because global growth is going to go under pressure because of these actions from Trump, has pulled that lower. But we are seeing it come back as the day goes on. Risk is coming back into the markets. Equity futures have rallied off their lows, and that's taken the Aussie dollar and crude prices high. So we'll see what happens as we go into Europe, because I think it's going to be interesting, because of course we've got an EU leaders meeting, and they'll decide whether they want to, potentially lower their tariff rates to appease Trump, or go in the same way that we saw with China, which of course has matched the tariffs that were recently put on them. So if Europe would come out and do that, then we could see, crude trade lower and equity markets coming under pressure again. So that's obviously a big one to watch.
That's Chris Weston there from Pepperstone. He's the head of research. Joining my other guest today, Andrew McCauley, the chief of investments at UBS Global Wealth Management here in Australia, and Maithan Somasundaram, the CEO of Deep Data Analytics. Don't forget, if you do like the podcast, to give it a rating or review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and to click subscribe.
This SBS On The Money stream is provided for informational purposes only. The content in this stream should not be understood as constituting advice or a recommendation. It is not personal advice, and it does not consider your personal circumstances or objectives. You should contact a licensed professional before making any financial decision.